You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Today's date is Wednesday the 27th of July 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about trans identity and two-year-olds and what the homosexual charity Stonewall have to say about this. The far-left state-funded Stonewall organisation says children as young as two can be trans and gender identity should be taught in nursery schools. And of course, this goes directly against what the Attorney General has said, Suella Braverman. She said that British schools do not have to affirm trans youth, such as by using their pronouns. She told The Times that teachers have no legal requirement to support trans and non-binary pupils by letting them use the toilets or wear the school uniform that aligns with their gender. She blasted schools' unquestioning approach to trans youth, saying they should take a much firmer line by treating trans youth as the gender they were assigned at birth. It would be outrageous for educators not to have the right to question a child's gender identity because under 18s cannot legally change their gender, Braverman said. Schools in no way have to accommodate trans youth. A male child who says in a school that they are a trans girl, that they want to be female, is legally still a boy or a male, she continued in the interview published Friday, 27th of May. And schools have a right to treat them as such under the law. They do not have to say, okay, we're going to let you change your pronoun or let you wear a skirt or call yourself a girl's name. So that's the Attorney General, and she is saying that schools should not be doing this, and yet you have this homosexual charity, which is funded by the state, which has an influence on all the state's departments and businesses, and it's saying the opposite. It's saying that this should be taught in schools and that two-year-olds can identify as trans. And of course, what that means is that a two-year-old is capable of making a decision that is going to lead to mutilation of the body, mutilation of the sexual organs and infertility, going on cross hormones, which can lead to bone disease, osteoporosis, your bones basically crumbling within your body by the time you get to the age of 20, all sorts of hideous things can come about from these hormone blockers. And what this charity is saying is that children as young as two can make a choice that they want to be trans and they should be treated as trans as early as possible. And of course, then we have the swimming Olympics saying that so long as people have transitioned by the age of 12, then they can take part in the Olympics as if they were male, they can then take part in the Olympics as a female, which is encouraging this sort of thing to be going on. People are saying, oh, it's great, the Olympics are stopping biological males from competing against biological females. But what they're actually doing is encouraging children to be put onto this pathway as young as possible. It's encouraging more of this rather than deterring it. But the really alarming thing about this is that this is a state-funded organization and it's saying the complete opposite of what the Attorney General is saying. This week, an unnamed mother penned an article in the Metro newspaper about her allegedly gender non-conforming four-year-old daughter and how her nursery school had failed to respect her supposed transgender identity. And of course, this is going to be a very liberal mother who has a tomboy of a daughter who thinks that because of that, her daughter is gender non-conforming. Children don't really have a gender, do they? Boys will play with girls' toys, girls will play with boys' toys. They're non-sexual beings, and the difference between the two genders doesn't really become apparent until you actually reach puberty. So all children are going to be gender non-conforming. What we should be doing as adults is preparing them to become the adult that their biological body wishes them to become. We should be encouraging little boys to be happy that they are little boys. We should be teaching them that they are capable of doing things that the little girls are not capable of doing. And we should be encouraging little girls to be happy about being little girls and tell them that they can do things that the boys can't do. And making them feel as if they're unique because of that and that they're valued because of that. This idea that we should be confusing things and encouraging people to not identify with any gender, and if they don't identify with any gender, then they must be gender non-conforming or transgender, is just setting them up for confusion. It's setting them up for gender dysphoria. In response to the article, the leftist LGBTQ plus Stonewall wrote, "Research suggests that children as young as two recognize their trans identity, yet many nurseries and schools teach a binary understanding of pre-assigned gender." Do they recognize their trans identity, or do they just like wearing boys' clothes and doing boys' things, or perhaps wearing girls' clothes and doing girls' things? We've always had tomboys, and yet these tomboys, as soon as they get into puberty, most of the time they drop these tomboy ideas and they start becoming attracted to the boys, and they start understanding why it is that women like feminine things, and they start to appreciate their femininity once they go through puberty. It's just a phase that people go through, but this phase has now been turned into some kind of a scientific designation that means that somebody is transgender and they therefore have this victim status. And if you're a parent of a transgender, then of course you also have this heightened celebrity status within your circle, because you have one of these rare children that transcends the binary understanding of gender. And of course the parent is going to feel all puffed up and proud, and the child is going to feel as if they're getting a lot more attention than they normally would do. All children like to get attention, and these are some of the reasons why this goes on, why these parents fall for it, and why the children fall for it as well, because they like the attention, and they're going to say pretty much whatever they think the grown-ups are going to approve of, aren't they? So Stonewall think that children as young as two can recognise their trans identity. They also said that LGBTQ inclusive and affirming education is crucial for the well-being of all young people. Well, of course, you want to include everybody in education, but if you are talking about transgender issues, then you're effectively excluding all those who are not transgender. And as Suella Braverman pointed out, you cannot legally change your gender until you are 18. So effectively, there should be no such thing as trans kids or trans children. There should be no such thing as homosexual children either. When they talk about gay children and being lesbian, gay, inclusive with children, remember they're talking about two-year-olds here, to be lesbian or gay means to engage in homosexual acts, and to engage in homosexual acts you have to be above the age of consent. That is what it means to be a homosexual. It means to engage in homosexual acts. So there can be no such thing as a homosexual child unless that child has been raped, basically, and they're engaging in sexual contact before the age of consent. Surely, otherwise they would not be able to identify as being lesbian or gay. Of course you want to include all children in education, but what they're doing here is they're trying to introduce ideas to children that they are not ready for. They can't possibly be ready for because they haven't gone through puberty. They don't understand sexual urges. They don't understand attraction to the opposite sex. And I mean, this is another side of it. When you're a little boy, you want to play with other little boys. And if you've then been told, well, there's this thing called homosexuality, and it means that you prefer to spend time with your own gender or your own sex, then a little boy's going to think, well, I must be homosexual then, because I like playing with little boys. I don't like playing with little girls. And you can see where this seeds are going to be sown in these children's minds that they're actually homosexual, when in actual fact, they're just normal children that like the company of their own sex, basically, their own biological sex. Contrary to the claims from Stonewall, studies have found that most children who display transgender tendencies grow out of the phase as they age. A 2021 study from the University of Toronto of gender dysphoric boys, for example, found that only 17 of the 139 participants persisted in their transgender expression, as opposed to 122, which is 87.8%, who reverted back to traditional gender norms. So what they're saying is that 9 out of 10 of these children that display these transgender tendencies, they actually grow out of them. So what about the ones that have been put on a pathway to cross hormones? What about them? What about the number of them that, in actual fact, would have grown out of it if they hadn't been put on these hormone blockers, if they hadn't been encouraged to believe that they were the opposite gender? I mean, that's what they mean, or that's what Stonewall mean when they talk about affirming education, gender affirming care, means basically telling somebody that they are not the biological sex that they were born as, but they are in actual fact the opposite sex, and they are the opposite gender. That's what they mean by gender affirming. And it's not actually affirming what somebody's gender is. It's affirming them in the belief that they are the opposite gender to what their biology is. Though some governmental organizations have distanced themselves from Stonewall over its radical positions on transgenderism, and former Minister for Women and Equalities turned Prime Ministerial hopeful Liz Truss has called for all departments to follow suit, the charity still receives the backing of the Foreign Office, the Equalities Office, and both the Scottish and Welsh regional devolved governments, and they still have the backing of the civil service as well. They still go out to all these businesses. Businesses pay the money, and they have I forget what it's called, some kind of sliding scale that they have. And if you pay Stonewall, they will tell you that you get a tick box for diversity and promoting LGBTQ at your company, basically. It's a big scam that goes on just so that these companies can say that they're following equalities legislation, and they basically just have to do whatever Stonewall tells them to do. This charity itself has also come under criticism from Simon Fanshawe, OBE, one of the 6 founders of the group in 1989, who said earlier this year that its stance on transgenderism is threatening to undermine the gains made for gay people. And Stonewall, it does appear to be fracturing. And the source of this is that homosexuals are attracted to their own sex. And when you add transgenderism into it, and the transgenders say, well, actually, it's about being attracted to your own gender. It's same gender attraction, not same sex attraction. Then you end up with men who are presenting as women who have penises, then cracking on to lesbians and saying, well, I'm a lesbian. Why aren't you attracted to me? I'm a lesbian. And of course, the lesbian says, well, I'm actually attracted to my own sex. It's not somebody presenting themselves as the same gender to me that is I'm going to be attracted to. I'm not attracted to people with penises. And of course, this is what's caused all these all these problems here, and Stonewall have redefined what it means to be homosexual to mean same gender attraction rather than same sex attraction. And of course, homosexuality, it's got the word sex in it, not gender in it. So you have this fundamental opposition there between these two ideas of what homosexuality and what transgenderism is, and it's causing a split. I mean, it is so bizarre the way the left just eats itself, isn't it? Because then, of course, you've got the trans exclusionary radical feminists, the TERFs, and they're being attacked by the transgender lobby as well for saying that transgenders aren't biological women and they shouldn't be allowed into women only spaces. So you have all these left-wing groups that are really falling out over this transgender idea. And yet this Stonewall, they still continue to be promoted by the government. And it's good that Liz Truss is calling for all departments to stop supporting them. I'm impressed with that. But it doesn't appear as if anybody is listening to her. Nobody appears to be listening to Suella Braverman either, who says that schools should certainly not be promoting this sort of stuff. Well, this Simon Fanshawe, OBE, one of the founders, he wrote in May that Stonewall's reputation is discredited and its credibility is squandered by trans activists, not all trans people, I hasten to add, who believe they can dictate what everyone is allowed to say and think. Well, perhaps he's just getting a little bit of his own medicine there, because it's been the homosexuals have been dictating what everyone is allowed to say and think for the last few years, and now it's the transgenders that are the ultimate victims, the thought police that are ready to step in and tell you what pronouns you can and cannot use and what language you can and cannot use for fear of being transphobic. I mean, there really is this victim hierarchy that we have today, and these transgenders are right at the top of the hierarchy. They get to set the agenda, basically. Nevertheless, Stonewall continues to exert considerable power within the United Kingdom, particularly in the field of medicine. I mean, this is really surprising. I mean, what has a homosexual charity got to do in the field of medical science? Well, in June, for example, a whistleblower from the National Health Service revealed that contracts granted to medical suppliers, some worth millions of pounds, are being awarded based on whether the firms conform to Stonewall's ideology. And this goes back to what I was just talking about earlier there, about this criteria that Stonewall have developed, and if companies pay Stonewall, then they will say that they have enough diversity points or whatever it is, that they support equality, they support homosexuals in their company and what have you, and they get the Stonewall stamp of approval. And it seems the NHS is looking for this Stonewall stamp of approval, and then they'll grant a contract to the medical supplier. So rather than it being down to the qualifications of the medical supplier or how good a supplier they are, it comes down to how politically correct they are and how much they're willing to pay towards this homosexual charity. And then they'll get these contracts with the NHS. The outcome of this is that the NHS might accept a tender from a company offering an inferior product or at a higher price based on Stonewall membership, the whistleblower said. To put it another way, the NHS is willing to compromise on patient care in order to promote Stonewall. And of course, the NHS will look at it as saying, well, we all have to promote equality, we all have to promote diversity. That's one of the government's drives. And one of the ways that we can show that we're promoting diversity and equality is to show that we support this charity, Stonewall. So the NHS isn't looking at it that we're compromising on patient care. They've been told that they have to promote diversity and equality. And I think that's pretty much every public company has to be seen to be promoting it. And of course, Stonewall have jumped in there and said, well, one of the ways you can do that is to promote our charity. And of course, it's not just them. There's also mermaids. There's also these black and non-white charities. I mean, Black Lives Matter. It's the same with companies supporting Black Lives Matter, because then they can say, well, we're supporting diversity and we're supporting equality. Well, of course, the general public, they just want whatever the best quality product is or whatever the best quality care is going to be. They're not really that concerned about whether the company promotes transgender rights for children or cross-dressing story hour for children in libraries. They just want the best products and the best service. But of course, we all want to include people. We all support equality. But do we really need to be doing that at this expense? Does it really need to be put forward as the most important thing of all, which as it says here, means putting patients at risk? I think we're putting just a little bit too much emphasis on all this equality and diversity. Stonewall has also been at the forefront of the movement to remove so-called gendered language outright, calling on educators last year to refrain from using the words boys and girls in favour of the dystopian alternative learners. And of course, they're just trying to take sex out of language entirely, which really means we're going to have problems with actually defining things. I mean, what you really want with language is to be as accurate as possible. And in a lot of cases, that's going to mean using gendered language. In English, maybe it's not quite so gendered as some other languages, such as some of the Latin languages, such as German, such as French, with their le and la. Everything is gendered. It's a part of culture. It's a part of history. They're effectively saying all of history has been wrong. All of culture has been wrong. Everything about splitting things into male and female has been wrong. We're just one hermaphroditic blob of humanity. That's all it is. I mean, it is very Gnostic, this, isn't it? Saying that there is no genders. It's like saying there is no good, there is no evil. Everything is just a matter of your point of view, and there is no such thing as objective truth. I mean, it all comes into this, and the way it comes out in society is through political correctness. Despite being led by the so-called Conservative Party, the British government handed out over £1.25 million worth of grants to Stonewall between 2020 and 2021 alone. And again, this is the point. You've got Suella Braverman. She's the Attorney General for the Conservative Party. She's saying that schools shouldn't be doing this. You got Liz Truss saying that the government shouldn't be supporting Stonewall, and yet it's the Conservative Party that is their main funder, isn't it? £1.25 million worth of grants the Conservative Party sent to them. They're supposed to be conserving tradition, but in actual fact, all they do is they conserve the left-wing policies of the former left-wing government. Responding to the group's latest claims about how two-year-olds can recognise their transgender identity, feminist Julie Bindle said, "I would have these sadistic monsters arrested for child abuse." And that may seem a little bit extreme there, but when you think about what's happening to these children, that you've got little boys that are ending up being castrated, you've got little girls that are ending up binding their chests or having their breasts removed. You've got girls that are having their wombs removed. It's horrific. And that would be child abuse if it was looked upon as being separate from transgenderism. If you were to have a doctor that was going to a 10-year-old and they had nothing wrong with their breasts, and they just cut their breasts off, or they went to a 10-year-old boy and there's nothing wrong with his organs, and yet the doctor was castrating him, you would say that's absolutely horrific. That is torture. And yet, because we say that these children are able to basically define themselves as being the opposite gender, and by doing so they're giving consent to having these operations, we just put up with it. We just say that it's okay. I think Vladimir Putin has also pointed out that this is child abuse that is going on here. And I believe the governor of Florida, or it might be Texas, has actually banned all these treatments for under 18s, any parents that is trying to give their children hormone blockers or put them on a pathway to castration is looking at jail time now in Florida and Texas. But nothing like that seems to be done over here in Britain. And Britain is quite at the center of this with the Tavistock Clinic, which is the transgender clinic, basically, for children. It's a world-renowned center of this treatment for children. There was a court case a couple of years back, and the court said, well, this is going to have to stop. But then there was an appeal. The Tavistock Clinic appealed it, and the case was dropped. And there are all these victims of this. There's a famous woman who is now living as a woman, who was living as a man, who had her breasts amputated and was put on testosterone. Her body's completely messed up. There's a famous male as well who ended up getting castrated and having a neo-vagina created. All sorts of horrific things happened to him, like hairs growing inside the urethra. He's constantly incontinent. I mean, his life's been absolutely ruined. And these are the people that we don't hear about. We just see, in fact, a lot of the time, we don't even see the transgenders. We see drag queens, and the two ends up getting mixed together. And they say, well, look at this beautiful drag queen. Look at how much fun they're having. And that gets mixed up with these transgenders that have gone through all these operations, and their bodies are still not how they want them to be. And they realize that in actual fact, they can never change their body enough to make it so that they are the opposite gender. It's just not physically possible. And the realization of that is just so depressing for them that a lot of them end up committing suicide. In fact, there's no evidence to show that going through with the operation actually lowers the suicide rate of these transgenders or the depression rate. There's no difference as far as I'm aware. It's just this incessant media propaganda which claims that it's the source to all these problems. It's going to solve all these problems. But it doesn't do that. I think the way to solve these problems is to get these youngsters to be happy in the body that they are in. That's what we need to be working at, making them happy in the body that they're in, not telling them that what they should be doing is modifying that body, and then they will be happy, because they will forever be chasing an elusive ghost, basically, for the rest of their lives, trying to make themselves happy by continually modifying their body. And the more they do it, the further they get away from real happiness. Anglican deacon and political commentator Calvin Robinson added, "Some people have mental health issues about their sex and should be treated with compassion, but we should not indulge their fantasies. That is harmful." And that is what we're all being expected to do here, is to indulge with the transgender fantasy that they can actually be a real woman. I mean, it's rather like Pinocchio, isn't it? Wanting to be a real boy when he's made out of wood. And you've got these transgenders, and obviously they desperately want to be seen as being the opposite gender. And of course you should refer to them by whatever pronouns they wish, but they cannot actually physically change into the opposite gender. And we should not be expected to pretend that they can. Calvin Robertson finished up by saying, "Charities like Stonewall exploit the ill to push their transgressive ideology. Now they are targeting little children. Push back." And of course, they're targeting the little children with this drag queen story hour as well, which is sexualizing children at a very young age, introducing them to adult performers, getting them to look up to these adult performers and to think that this is a normal way to behave. And I think the drag queen story hour is also going to encourage more transgenderism and gender dysphoria amongst our children. And just to finish up with here, doctors have been ordered to help trans men who give birth with chest feeding. A new guideline from the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists proposes overhauls of cancer screening, childbirth and fertility treatments to make them more inclusive for transgender and non-binary patients. It says that trans men should be asked about their preferred manner of feeding before their baby is born, and those who chose to chest feed should be offered chest feeding support in the same manner as for cis women. The guidelines cover care for trans and gender diverse people through childbirth, contraception, fertility, gynecological procedures, and cancer treatment and care. It also says trans women should be put on female wards even if they retain their male sex organs, and warns that misgendering may cause profound offence. And the point that really glares out to me about this is what about the baby? What about the baby's choice? Does the baby want to chest feed? Does the baby want to be fed by a male person that is pretending to be a female that has taken estrogen instead of testosterone? Surely what they should be doing here is saying, well, what is best for the baby? Is it best for a baby to be fed by a biological female, or is it best for a baby to be fed by a biological male who is taking a cocktail of hormones and drugs in an attempt to replicate mother's milk? I mean, there is nothing better for a babe than mother's milk. It contains everything that is required. Surely, if you're a male and you have XY chromosomes and you're attempting to replicate that, you're not going to be able to. You may get some simulacrum of it. You may get something that looks similar, but it's not going to have all the nutrients and all the vitamins and all the things that you need as a baby. So they're effectively sacrificing the baby's health here for the just for the needs of these transgender parents to pretend that they are actually the gender that they are presenting as, and it's all at the expense of the children here. I think this is quite scandalous what they've said here about chest feeding. Not the fact that they're not calling it breastfeeding, they're calling it chest feeding, but the fact that they are suggesting that this should be accepted as a way for children or babes to be breastfed, breastfed by men, by biological men, instead of women. Anyway, I think we'll leave that here for today. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.